What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, so when the Titans schedule came out, when you saw the schedule, like, what was your overall thought? Like, was there any game that really stood out to you as, you know, this is going to be, you know, absolute bloodbath for the Titans?
Say that one more time.
Like, when you looked at the schedule, mm-hmm. Was there any game that you circled that you were like, oh, this is just an absolutely
for myself,
brutal game?
Or for the Titans now? Like, when I was playing?
For
or
the Titans now, like the 24 schedule.
No, not because I look at it from this standpoint. We know who the good teams are.
Yeah. At least we think
exactly.
We think
we know who the good teams are. So when I look at their schedule, it's not like, oh, my goodness, like this new team popped up that we didn't know about, you know. Let me pull up their schedule because I want to be, you know, I've looked at it before and we've looked at it before, but it's like, okay, it's been some days since it's been out. I'm looking at their schedule. There's not one game on their schedule that I would have that sentiment about. I mean, the Chargers, yeah, because they got a new coach, so it's like, how will the Chargers be? Will they look like the old Chargers still, or will they look like San Fran did when Coach Harbaugh was coaching them?
Yeah,
when he led them to the Super Bowl, and they ended up
long
losing.
Road trip.
Yeah, so. You know, it's just, and it's a long road trip, yes. So other than that, I don't think there's any team on this schedule that I don't think the Titans can't beat. Now, will they beat them? That's a different story. But I'm not looking on there. There's no Kansas City Chiefs on this schedule. There's no Baltimore Ravens on this schedule. You know,
you the Bengals.
They don't have San Fran. Is San Fran on the schedule?
No,
San Fran's not on the schedule. Yeah, they have the Bengals. And I get it. The Bengals are a damn good team. But the Bengals have to prove that they are one of the better teams in the National Football League, too.
Joe Burrow has to prove that
exactly.
He can stay healthy.
He has to prove that he can stay healthy because he's been hurt. He's been hurt his whole career.
Yeah.
You know, he's had some type of injury that has put him out, you know, multiple games each season. So they have something to prove, too. And then Ja'Marr Chase coming back on the field. How's he going to look from having a season filled with injuries? So they have a lot of stuff to prove, too. So I'm not just looking at this and say, oh, man, when they play Cincinnati, oh, my goodness. No, because I don't know yet. Do I believe? Yes.
Yeah, totally. And that stretch between the Jets, Packers, mm-hmm. and Dolphins before the bye week in weeks 2 through 4, that's going to be a tough stretch.
It's going to be a tough stretch, but it's like, okay, where – because that's
and then Bills, Lions, but we go Colts, Bills, Lions, uh-huh. back to back to back. So that's not a stretch that you love, it's at least coming off of the bye, and it's not like it's a stretch of 5 or 6 games that is just an absolute gauntlet. Tough games, mm-hmm. and if you ask me how many games on the Titans' schedule they'll be favored in, frankly, I don't think it's very many.
I don't think it's many that they will be favored in, but that's coming off of the season that they came off of, would you expect? Not many.
Yeah.
If we had asked the same question last year of the Houston Texans, there wouldn't have been many games that we felt Houston would have won.
True.
But they did.
Yep, and they got the division round.
And they got the division round in the playoffs. So we can look at the Titans' schedule and say, yeah, there are games that they more than likely will not win. But then again, the season hasn't been played yet.
Right.
Because they can do what Houston did last year, but all of it is predicated on who? The
quarterback. Things can change. You know, quarterbacks get hurt, coaches get fired, mm-hmm. weird things happen. How seasons play out, are generally drastically different than how we expect them to. But, you know, overall, I don't look at the schedule and think, man, like, these are some games that the Titans are just going to get absolutely rolled over, which is why I was pretty surprised to hear this. This is on the And the First Pick podcast. It's a CBS Sports, like, post-draft kind of reaction podcast. This was Mike Sando and Randy Mueller, of course, you know, former general managers, insiders. They were reacting. They were talking about Caleb Williams and the young quarterbacks, and this is what they had to say about the Chicago-Tennessee game to start off the season.
I like to see the first month because one of the things that really stood out to me was, you know, all of the expectations around Chicago, right? I mean, it's super exciting time with Caleb Williams, and you think of it in terms of this long runway with a big future, but you have this staff that took over, or staff that's been there, and there, you know, there's some pressure on Eberflus and these guys, and they open with what looks like a cupcake. You're home against Tennessee, Will Levis coming in. I mean, but where my mind goes is, you know, if the Bears lose that game, or right, or how does your first month go, right? You have all these expectations coming in. You suddenly you're playing a quote-unquote easy team or something. You lose. The narrative shifts, right? And you're suddenly dealing with different things just based on how your early schedule goes. The first month is kind of what you look at, right?
A cupcake? Well, at least Caleb Williams starts the season off with a cupcake. Yeah, with Levis coming in, it's a cupcake. Am I living on a different planet? Look, I'm not going to say that the Titans should roll over Chicago and beat them by three touchdowns. A cupcake?
Again.
Is that what everyone thinks about this team?
Again, there's no, as bad as some teams have been throughout the league and throughout the years, there's no damn cupcake in this league. And for him to say that was just asinine, I believe. There's no cupcakes in this league whatsoever. Even the bad teams, if you catch them on the wrong day, they're going to beat you. There's no cupcakes in this league. Ask the people that have played in this league for a very long time, or have played in this league, period. They will tell you each and every game is not an easy game. Yeah, we may have a better team than you at that particular moment, but it's not an easy game. You know, we still got to go out there and play the game. And if we don't, that team that y'all think are cupcakes, they're going to embarrass us flat out. We saw the Carolina Panthers come in here and damn near win a game. And they were horrible last year.
Yeah, so were the Titans.
Horrible. And the Titans were horrible too. But what I'm saying is there's no, like, easy wins in this league. None whatsoever. So, you know, for someone to say that, do you know the league the way you say you know the league? Yeah, it would be great to catch a team with a new quarterback or a young quarterback early in the season, especially in the case of like a Caleb Williams or even in a Will Levis, where this is like their first, like they are the guy now. Will, he's the guy. He knows he's the guy. So the approach is much different, vastly different. The outlook is vastly different than what it was last year for him. He comes in knowing he's the guy, and he has to prove that it's his job to keep. Caleb Williams coming in as a rookie. So there are different things, but it doesn't mean, like, I would rather catch those guys early than late.
Totally.
It doesn't mean that there is a cupcake game, but it's just they're young in the game.
It's his first
exactly.
NFL game.
Absolutely. So I would rather play them then. Not to say it's going to be an easy battle, but he doesn't know everything that he needs to know just yet. Doesn't mean he's not a good player. He just doesn't know everything that he needs to know. Like playing C.J. Stroud early last season would have been better for people rather than to play him later once he figured a lot of things out. So it doesn't mean it's a cupcake game. It just means the experience is not there just yet. But it doesn't mean they can't beat you.
Well, they were calling the Titans a cupcake.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, even the Chicago. Titans, yeah. Even the Titans, it's not for Chicago. It's weird because
we're talking about Chicago.
They have some of the same problems that we are having.
Like, Chicago?
Yeah, so
if you're a cupcake for Chicago?
That's not good. But I don't see the Titans as a cupcake for anybody. Are they a team that needs to get better? Yes, they are. But this is not a cupcake for a Chicago Bear team that has struggled to the last since forever. Mm-hmm. I'm not even saying last year. They've been struggling for a very long time. So how in the hell are you going to walk in here and say it's a cupcake game for the Chicago Bears? That doesn't make sense.
have a couple thoughts on
that. Or the other way around.
Yeah, totally. Because I don't think it's fair to say that there's any sort of cupcakes for the Titans. Because we don't know how good of a team the Titans are going to be. Mm-hmm. The Titans might not be very good.
No.
But it's also the same thing with Chicago. I have two quarterback thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
One, can we cool it with the Caleb Williams love? Can we cool it with putting a crown on Caleb Williams' head before he even takes a damn snap in the National Football League?
You know how this league is. When you're the number one pick, they're going to ride you. They're going to ride you.
Like, what has Caleb Williams done in the NFL?
Nothing other than take pictures.
Yeah, he's taking a lot of pictures.
Yeah, taking a lot of pictures of him in his uniform. That's it.
And look, Caleb Williams might end up being, you know, a multiple-time MVP and a Super Bowl champion, and he could very well be the answer that Chicago has been looking for at that position. I'm not discounting his talent and what he can become in this league, but let's let him do it before we all of a sudden start throwing things around like Caleb Williams' NFL debut is going to just be super easy, you know, just wipe our hands clean of the Tennessee Titans in this itty-bitty little cupcake game that we've got because big bad Caleb Williams is coming into the league. Like, let's pump the brakes a little bit. Second quarterback thought is, that's all about Will Levis, right? Like, this, everyone feels this way about the Titans because that's how they feel about Will Levis.
Yeah, I think if the sentiment was different in regards to Will Levis, the outlook for the Tennessee Titans from a national standpoint would look different. You can't blame people for sort of the hesitancy of, you know, what is Will Levis? You know, he threw four touchdowns or three touchdowns against Atlanta, but he played bad in other games. You know, he made some good throws. Yeah, he played, you know, he played excellent in the second half of the Miami game, but the first half was just a debacle. You know, so I understand the hesitancy that you would have, you know, with Will Levis. But it's like, okay, allow him to go out and do it. So you can't say that he's not going to be able to, you know, go out there and lead this team because he has done it a few times, you know, the season prior. So he's capable of doing it. We see it in him. So if the narrative was changed on Will Levis, then the narrative about this Tennessee Titans team would change. If people believed in Will Levis, then I think people would believe in not only the team, but the GM as well. If they felt in their mind, you know, these people that sort of scout these quarterbacks and these GMs that speak anonymously about quarterbacks, if they felt, because that's where a lot of this is coming from, Caroline, is that because of what's been coming out with the anonymous people and saying certain things and this and that, now is formed this sort of view of Will Levis, which I think locally we don't have the same view of Will Levis that the people do nationally. I think we have somewhat of a better view. Not to say that we think he's going to be a five-time All-Pro and a Super Bowl winner. I hope he does, or an MVP. But we look at him a little bit different because we've seen some success from him, but also we've seen some failure, and also we've seen the growing pains of a rookie. But we feel that there's something, we see something in him that if they surround him with people, now we can get a better evaluation of who he can be as a quarterback. I think that's how we look at it here. If I'm wrong, then I apologize for that. But
we're in wait and see.
Exactly. Though. That's what I'm saying. It's like a wait and see. Do we hope he becomes that quarterback? Absolutely. But there is a chance that he doesn't, you know? So that's why I think you and I are cautiously optimistic about this team because of the quarterback. If he was a legit quarterback, we'd just be optimistic. I mean, we'd just be like, this team's going to do it.
Yeah.
But we're cautious about it because we don't know. We've seen some good, but we also seen some bad of Will Levis as well.
And I do find it interesting the benefit of the doubt that I feel like Will Levis doesn't get. And look, he doesn't need it. I'm not up here saying that everybody needs to be nice to Will Levis. Like, that's not what I'm saying.
Play nice, people.
Everybody be nice to our quarterback. But Anthony Richardson, we saw a very small sample size of Anthony Richardson last year.
And people are raving about him.
Raving. And look, Anthony Richardson has all the tools.
Yeah.
Like, he has just, you know, elite God-given talent. What that turns into, I'm also in wait-and-see mode with Anthony Richardson as well. And I understand the optimism, the sheer optimism that everybody has for C.J. Stroud because we saw it. Mm-hmm. And the Texans only got better this offseason. You had Stephon Diggs to C.J. Stroud's pass-catching core, and I feel like there's—
With Nico Collins and Tank Dell, oh, man.
And what they added to the defense, and Danico Autry and Danielle Hunter, like, we have every reason to think that C.J. Stroud is going to ascend. Mm-hmm. So put that in a different, you know, area. But the optimism for Anthony Richardson and the raving about Anthony Richardson when we didn't even really see that much from Anthony Richardson.
We didn't.
We're grading on different curves here.
Yeah, and I think the reason why is because one was drafted in the top five and the other was a second round pick.
Probably.
Because if you're asking who I believe is the better passer, it's Will Levis. I think he's proven that throughout his college career, and I think he's proven it, you know, in the limited snaps that he's gotten as the NFL player. It doesn't mean that he doesn't need to get better, because he does need to get better.
Yeah.
But, a lot of it hinges on where you were drafted. You know, again, Richardson was drafted as a top five pick, I believe. Was he a top five? Yeah, top five pick. And he has these physical attributes that, you know, that you want your quarterback to have. Will Levis has those same attributes. He can throw the ball, you know, through the hemisphere.
Yeah.
He can, you know, break a tackle. He's tough as nails, or $2 steak, as Vrabel once said about his center. So these same attributes that y'all talk about with C.J. Stroud, but Richardson, which is, you're right, Will Levis has those same attributes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're the same quarterback, but I'm just saying, like, the attributes of the things that you look for in a quarterback. Big, strong, tall, strong arm, can stand in the pocket, is mobile. Isn't that Will Levis?
I mean, that's at least...
I'm saying from the attributes. I'm not saying that will make him this great quarterback. I'm just saying.
I don't know what Will
exactly.
Levis is gonna
I'm just looking at the attributes of both guys.
Yeah,
Richardson and Levis, and I think they're from an attribute standpoint. If I was building a guy, they would be the identical. They would be the same player from a just physical standpoint. They would be the same player.
From a physical standpoint, I defer to Anthony Richardson.
Well, Anthony Richardson probably a little bit. He's faster, damn. I know that.
Yeah.
But he's probably maybe a little bit thicker.
He is a...
Yeah, than Will Levis. But when you're talking about a big, strong, sturdy quarterback, both of those guys are a guy that can make every throw, short, long, to the right hash, to the left hash, to the right sideline, to the left side. Richardson can do it, and Will Levis can do it. There's not a throw Will Levis can't make. There's not a throw Richardson can't make. Mm-hmm. You know? So when I look at the attributes of both of them, if I'm building a player, they're the same.
Yeah. And frankly, I don't know what the reality is going to be with Will Levis. But perception is reality.
Yeah.
At least at this point, whenever we're not playing games for another 5 months.
Okay.
The perception is, at least we heard in that podcast from Mike Sando and Randy Mueller, they think the Titans are going to be a cupcake for rookie Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears.
Gosh, wow. Do you...
Can we get some sprinkles at least?
Do he realize what a cupcake means?
Cupcake is when Alabama plays Mercer.
Exactly. Absolutely. That's what a cupcake is. Alabama or Georgia playing Oakland. And I mean the University of Oakland. Not the basketball team, but the football team if they have one. Or Wayne State University, who has a football team in the city of Detroit downtown.
Wayne State University is.
It's a college. It's like a Division III college.
I thought it was a fake college.
No, no. It's a real college. Wayne State University. Yes. Okay. It's right. It's going toward downtown in Detroit. So it's their big university. A lot of people went there. It's a well-known university as far as not sport-wise, but other things.
Ohio State plays Buttcrack State.
Exactly.
University.
Absolutely. That's a cupcake.
That's what people think you
Chicago
are.
Chicago versus Tennessee? That's not a cupcake whatsoever. Gosh. A cupcake?
A cupcake. That's what everybody thinks.
That is total disrespect for the Titans. That is total disrespect. Total disrespect. A cupcake? Seriously? Soft, mushy, sweet. Easy to knock over. Sweet, nice. I take it. Put some sprinkles on it, like Nick said. Give me a candle on the top. That's what a cupcake is.
And frankly, I don't know how much respect or benefit of the doubt the Titans deserve at this point. Like, if you don't think the Titans are going to be very good, you have plenty of data points to support that. I get that. But cupcake's a little far for me.
Yeah, I can't go as far as to say cupcake. I don't even think I would have ventured down that road of saying, oh, there you a cupcake. Even, again, the Carolina Panthers, as bad as they were last year, they were not a cupcake. They were just a bad team,
yeah,
but not a cupcake, because they pushed a few teams, you know, to the brink in almost one game.
Like the Titans,
yes.
So, you know, cupcake, you know, warm, gooey, sweet. Everyone's being a little warm. Not everyone. Yeah. Someone is being warm and gooey and sweet about Will Levis.
Mm.
We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I don't expect any head coach to come in and not be, you know, very, I don't want to say over the top, but look, he's going to be effusive in praise of the quarterback because that was part of the deal coming in. He had to know this is who I'm getting on board with. I will say, and I brought this up, I think, previously when we talked about this, when McVay went in, he was so over the top with Jared Goff, right? And I remember the first time I went into LA following McVay's hiring, and, you know, I was talking to general manager Les Snead, and he's like, yeah, you know, part of the process of how we ended up landing on Sean, hiring Sean, was, you know, this he set up this basically slideshow of all of, you know, Jared's throws in the courtyard by Marriott, and they spent this time together, and I'm just like, oh my God, this is really going to sell this so hard. And I kind of questioned, like you do, like, hey, is this just the coach being over the top, or does he really believe this? Well, it turned out Sean did believe it. You know, he was right in his assessment of, you know, so much more being there for Jared Goff, so much untapped potential, which I think is definitely what I feel like we're getting from Callahan, is all the positives that Will Levis brought to the table. And that's really what he's accentuating right now. But I will say for everyone, this is the fun part of the season. Like, it's everybody's, hey, so-and-so 7-for-11. it's OTAs. Like, it's nothing. Nothing is, they should be, you really should have been 11 for 11. I mean.
That was Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports on with Robbie and Rexroad this morning. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Join Cromwell Media along with local athletes and musicians at Hermitage Golf Course on June 20th for the 615 Open. Make a difference while supporting Souls for Souls. Every $20 raised goes to a new pair of shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness. So sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. So Robbie or Joe, I don't remember which one asked him the question, but essentially was asking him the question about how Brian Callahan is going out of his way really to talk about how much he really is impressed with Will Levis and his work ethic, how he's as advertised. We've heard it from Brian Callahan at the podium. We've heard it from Brian Callahan on the Athletic Football Show podcast and on Buzzin' with the Boys, that Brian Callahan is really hyping Will Levis up this offseason. So Robbie or Joe, whichever one, asked Charles Robinson about that. You know, kind of, what do you read into that? And he's like, look, it's the time of year where everything's great and amazing and awesome. Like, it is everything is going to be fun. Fine season. And look, Brian Callahan could be telling the absolute 100% truth. He brings up the example of Sean McVay and Jared Goff. And I'm not necessarily saying that Brian Callahan is Sean McVay or Will Levis is Jared Goff. Well, okay, actually, I'll ask you this question.
Okay.
What if Will Levis ends up being Jared Goff?
I'm good with it. I think Jared Goff is a damn good quarterback.
I think I would absolutely be good with that.
Exactly. Jared Goff has led a team to a Super Bowl. Albeit they didn't win it, and I understand they did trade to get Matthew Stafford. It was just basically a swap of quarterbacks. There were other things involved, but basically that's what it was, a swap of quarterbacks. But Goff has led his team to a Super Bowl. Goff has led his team to an NFC Championship game. Goff has done the things that you are asking a quarterback to do. He's a great leader, it seems, from the outside looking in. hell of a passer. I think he's an underrated passer. So if Will Levis ended up being Jared Goff, I'm fine with that. And if you're telling me we're going to get to a Super Bowl and we're going to get to an AFC championship game and or an AFC championship game, I'm good with that.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I take it every day, all the time.
Because Jared Goff, to me, is the kind of quarterback, he's not going to elevate everyone around mm-hmm. him every single game. Mm-hmm. Not very many quarterbacks that have ever played the game can do that. Jared Goff is the kind of quarterback, to me, that to get those Super Bowl caliber results that they got with the Rams and, you know, the year that the Lions had this past year, you got to put a whole hell of a lot of talent around him. Mm-hmm. But Jared Goff can answer the bell when you need him to. Mm-hmm. Jared Goff can elevate everyone around him sometimes. Mm-hmm. Doesn't do it every game. He's not going to do it in every single clutch situation, you know, when it's 30 seconds left and you got to get down the field mm-hmm. to get into field goal position and, you know, he's not going to do it every time, but he can do it. He has the ability to do it. Ryan Tannehill, I think, was on an area of he's not really going to do that. Mm-mm. He's a product of what you put around him. Mm-hmm. We have to be great around Ryan, a la Mike Vrabel. So, yeah, if Will Levis turns into the kind of quarterback that you got to put a lot of talent around him, but he can elevate you at times, mm-hmm. I'll take that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and I think if you poll Titans fans, I would venture to say they would agree with us. Like, if you're saying that if Will Levis ends up being Jared Goff, I think a lot of Titans fans would be good with that.
Yeah.
You give us an opportunity to win the Super Bowl. That's what Jared Goff gives you. He gives you an opportunity. Every game's not going to be perfect, but he gives you an opportunity to win. He reminds me, meaning Willis, Will Levis.
Malik Willis.
Yeah, that's something totally different. I think we out of sight, out of mind with him. I think that's what it is with him. But he reminds me of, God, why did I just, his name just slipped me, the Raiders' old quarterback, the one that made the comments about Will Levis. About him looking like a gigolo with all the ladies. Basically, that's what he was insinuating.
It was Rick Spielman, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Spielman. It was, what was the quarterback? The old Oakland like, Raider quarterback.
Like a Don Juan.
Yeah, Don Juan. That's what he said. What was the, we had him on, too. I think we did. Long after that, we had him on the show, or one of our shows had him on.
I can't remember.
God, why am I forgetting? Rich Gannon. He reminds me.
Will Levis, your mom's too hot.
Yeah, your mom's too hot, Will Levis. And your sisters and everybody else that around is too hot, man. You can't do that during the NFL draft. You can't have him on camera. That's basically what Rich Gannon was saying. But Rich Gannon was a damn good quarterback in this league. Was he a top five quarterback? No. He did win he ended up winning MVP one year. But he was that guy, like that consummate pro. Like, you, whenever he stepped out on the field, you had an opportunity to win with him on the center. There were some games he was going to win for you. And there were other games, like you said, he was going to need some help. That was Rich Gannon. Rich Gannon, again, was a damn good quarterback in this league, played a long time. But he was a guy that could win you games, but some games he would need some help. So I look at Will Levis sort of, you know, he has the potential to be that, a Rich Gannon or a Jared Goff. And if you tell me that's what he's going to be, I'm good with it. Rich Gannon got his team to a Super Bowl. Rich Gannon won an MVP. Jared Goff got his team to a Super Bowl. Jared Goff got his team to an AFC championship.
Jared Goff just signed a monster extension.
Exactly. Jared Goff just had an extension. So why wouldn't I'd want that if that's his comparative. If you're comparing him to those two guys and you say that's what his ceiling, like he will ultimately be that. I'm good with that.
I'll take it.
I take it, yeah.
I will take it.
Everybody can't be Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. Like, you know? If you can find a Patrick Mahomes or a Joe Burrow, like, obviously, that's great.
Exactly.
But there's 30 other quarterbacks in this league, and a lot of which are a lot worse mm-hmm. than Jared Goff. So I would take it. But quick sidebar. Back to what Charles Robinson had to say. He's talking about how Brian Callahan is just gushing and raving about Will Levis. And Charles Robinson says, look, it's that time of year. Okay, we're in OTAs. There's not really much negativity that you can be talking about here. Mm-hmm. And now Brian Callahan, to his credit, he's been saying, look, Will Levis needs to take fewer hits. Like, mm-hmm. he needs to not put his body in the line of fire. But that's really about the extent of quote-unquote negativity
yes.
that you're going to get from Brian Callahan about Will Levis. But it can't always be sunshine and rainbows. So Charles Robinson addressed the question of when do you start to have a little bit more criticism from Will Levis. This was Charles Robinson.
He's got all the good stuff to talk about. To me, what's going to be more interesting is when you get to an inflection point of where he's got to be critical and what that criticism sounds like. That's going to be a ways off. You know, we're not going to really see that until probably training camp, maybe with the way training camps go nowadays, maybe not even until the beginning of the regular season. But we've talked about Levis before. You guys have me out here. I don't know how you did it, but you have me out here arguing with, like, everybody about Will Levis at every turn. I got into another argument after
fight the good week, fight, so, Charles.
Well, somebody and I'm like, I literally thought of you guys because somebody was doing kind of their quarterback rankings or whatever, and they got to Bryce Young and they put him over Will Levis, and then they started banging on Will Levis while they were talking about Bryce Young, and I got so upset and I started arguing with them about it, and I thought of you guys. I'm like, I don't know how they Manchurian candidated my head, but I'm like out here. Like,
you're welcome.
Banging the drum for Will Levis at every turn. Look, it's great. I think everybody, Treylon Burks, you hear all the positivity about Treylon Burks. This is the season for everybody to be super positive. What's going to matter with Callahan is more how he's able to take the negative moments with Will Levis and then build upon that, because really that's where Will Levis is going to get a lot better. It's not just going, you know, hey, the comeback last season against Miami that nobody talks about with him. You know, he's definitely had his high point moments, but it's going to be all the negatives that ultimately turn him in the right direction, which is really how the first iteration of Jared Goff happened under Sean McVay, which is pretty dang good. And, you know, so that's where Callahan's really going to earn his money is the bad moments, not just this idea that he's out there saying, like, he's expecting the world of Will Levis right now.
And look, Brian Callahan can say that now because it's May 23rd. But mm-hmm. as Charles Robinson points out, there's going to be a day when we all see on television Will Levis doing some things that aren't so great. Now, that's where Brian Callahan makes his money. And, Demas, you and I were kind of talking about this mm-hmm. earlier in the show off air, of when the Titans started losing, Mike Vrabel's whole shtick at the podium mm-hmm. of being a big ol' ass mm-hmm. got old. That the condescending, the arrogance, like just the comments that were so unnecessary, they got old. Mm-hmm. Which, when you're winning, those are funny. Like, those are funny viral moments. When you're losing, it's like, why are you being so rude? Same thing with Bill Belichick in New England. The whole thing about him being short and grumpy, not short in stature, but just like short and uh-huh. when he speaks to people. Him being grumpy, like, that was funny. That was his thing when they were winning Super Bowls. Tom Brady leaves. Now he's just an ass.
Yeah.
If the Titans don't play well, if they're consistently losing games, if Will Levis doesn't take steps forward, in fact, if Will Levis takes steps backwards, mm-hmm. the same sentiment is going to apply to Brian Callahan if things continue to be all peachy, creamy, rainbow, sunshine, and butterflies at the podium. If we see, okay, well, Will Levis threw three interceptions and you lost by three touchdowns, and you're still getting up at the podium and talking about how tough Will Levis is, that's going to get old. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that all the things that Brian Callahan is saying about Will Levis now, like, you can talk about that this time of year because it's everything's going to be fine season. And right now, Brian Callahan's job is to build that trust and rapport and instill confidence into his young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll be tested in the regular season.
Yeah, it will be. You know, and this was, you know, when you get hired, when you hire this type of coach, meaning a coach that, you know, comes from that offensive world, a coach that has been in the same room with, you know, Peyton Manning and, you know, Matt Stafford and some of these other quarterbacks that he's been able to, you know, watch and learn from and also pour into them as well. When you make a move for a guy like that, you just saw he was in the same room with Joe Burrow. As an owner, once you make a move like that, owner and GM, yeah, your responsibility is to make sure that quarterback, you get the best out of that quarterback. That's what your job is. Yes, because because if you get the quarterback right in this league, if you get the quarterback right, a lot of other stuff would start to become right with your team.
That's the
exactly.
Thing.
That's the right. You get that engine right, we can get the car. We can get together, but we need to get the engine going first.
Unless you're the Chargers.
Yeah, unless you're the Chargers, yeah, that's something different. I want to run a football.
You need a jump start for that.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you get the quarterback right, then a lot of your problems go away. Now, you did two things. You hired Brian, and then Brian hired Bill. So the two areas that you need to improve drastically in, you hired one guy to do it that's the best in his business in the business at that position. And then the other guy you hired to be your head coach is a coach that has been in a room with a Joe Burrow, has been in a room with a Peyton Manning, has been in a room with some of these great quarterbacks, and have learned from them, and again have poured into them as well. His whatever knowledge he had. Your expectation is to get that quarterback right. Isn't it, as an owner, if I'm hiring you and I saw, that's your resume.
That's his job.
Exactly. Your job is to get, I know your job is the whole team, but the whole team is predicated on whether this quarterback can get right. So that's your job to make sure this quarterback gets right. And, you know, and a part of that is, you know, coming in here and making sure that you do the things necessary that Will Levis becomes, that you're able to get everything you possibly can get out of Will Levis to make him a better quarterback within this system.
Fair point. I want to get into your thoughts on this coming up next. We are right to you. Your reaction to the conversation on the Athletic Football Show saying the Titans are a cupcake for the Chicago Bears week one. Wild. And also kind of Charles Robinson's assessment of what he's heard from Brian Callahan about Will Levis. We'll get into you and your thoughts coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace. Vanderbilt has advanced in the SEC tournament and will take on Mississippi State Knicks Bulldogs tonight. Hear all the action on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, with pregame beginning at 7:30 and first pitch at 7:45. Vanderbilt Baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop expert. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And hey, purchase your tickets now for the Music City Grand Prix of the Nashville Super Speedway on Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th at MusicCityGP.com. As the racing station, 102.5 The Game has a special offer that's for a limited time. Use promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, for a 20% discount right now through June 16th. You can also tune in for the Indy 500 race on 102.5 The Game this Sunday. Coverage begins at 10 a.m. and is brought to you by Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality, legal THC products. Let's get into your thoughts. We got a bunch of recap from the Athletic Football Show, where Randy Mueller and Mike Sando called the Titans a cupcake for the, wait for it, Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams making his NFL debut.
I can see if it was Kansas City.
That's fine.
Or San Fran.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine. I can see that. But Buffalo, I mean, the Chicago? Bears? The Bears.
The Bears?
Okay, all right.
The
if
Bears.
If you say so.
The Bears.
That's what I'm saying, like the Bears.
Look,
yeah.
They could be good.
They could be good.
I don't know.
But right now, they're in the same boat as the Titans. They need to improve as a team.
They have a rookie quarterback.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. That's just me.
Let's get into some of your thoughts. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter says, in what world do you live in where a head coach is going to speak to the media or the fans and be critical of his quarterback? They just don't do that. Behind the scenes, they might be critical, but not in public. The message doesn't get old when a coach has the back of his players. I may to you in the media, but think of the lack of harmony in a locker room if he did that in public. He's not going to come out and say, you know what, who really stinks? Our quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not going to say that. I think the point is all of the messaging has been overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah.
Which I think that we should expect at this point in time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this texture says, you know, hearing positive things about our quarterback will never get old. I promise you, it will get old if you are 0-11.
Exactly. Absolutely.
It
and
will
he's
get
not
old.
Playing well. Yeah, it gets old very quickly.
Yeah, the sunshine and rainbows gets old real quickly when things aren't actually sunshine and rainbows. And I'm not saying it's going to get to that point. Mm-hmm. It's May 23rd. But I'm, you know.
Give me a heads up, just in case.
At a certain point,
yeah,
there will be a time when Brian Callahan has actual tangible things that we see in a game that Brian Callahan can say, look, Will needs to do this better.
Exactly. And he will say that. He will say that. Every coach has said that if their quarterback didn't go out and play well, their head coaches are not scared to criticize the quarterback, but they criticize the quarterback in a way where it's not demeaning to the quarterback. They criticize the quarterback based upon what everybody can see.
Yeah.
Like, yes, he need not throw that interception. That wasn't a smart throw. That he needs to be better in this quarter. He needs to be better on third down. That's critiquing and criticizing your quarterback, but it's not like something that we all don't see or the quarterback don't see as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, Gunner Texan says, Robbie Stanley might have an absolute come apart hearing y'all be fine if Levis is Goff. Does Robbie Stanley hate Jared Goff?
I don't know. Maybe not.
I know he hates
Matt LaFleur. Joe doesn't because Jared Goff is the quarterback of the Lions. So I know Joe.
I think Joe hates the Lions.
Joe doesn't.
There's a fine line between love and hate.
Okay, I understand that part.
Yeah.
I think every Lion fan was like that to a point. Like, but we had been losing for like 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
So there is that love-hate with the Lions. Like, I love you, but man, you are a bad team.
You have done me dirty far too many times
Absolutely.
For me to root for you.
Exactly.
I get that.
I see it. If he has that sentiment, then that's good, Joe.
Nick, would you if Will Levis turns out to be Jared Goff, can you live with that?
To a certain degree, yes. I feel like you were saying earlier about with the Rams and how they surrounded Goff with a lot of talent. Like, you're going to have to surround Will Levis with Super Bowl talent to, I guess, lift your team to a Super Bowl champion.
But the 49ers have to put Super Bowl talent around Brock Purdy.
Exactly.
I can live with that.
But hold on. Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask y'all this. And not to mean to really get on Jared Goff, this issue of Jared Goff. But the year they went to the Super Bowl, I can't remember their team. But did they – I know they had the running back from Georgia.
Todd Gurley.
Yeah, Todd Gurley was on that team. But did they have just like this explosive offense player-wise? I think Cooper Kupp was still young, if he was there at all.
Robert Woods. Pre-injury.
Yeah, pre-injury,
Cooper
but he's still –
Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald.
But we're talking about from an offensive standpoint.
Offensive standpoint.
Defense is good. The defenses have been good with Jared Goff and his – been good with Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I don't know. That's why I'm asking, like, because when you say, well, they put all these players around him on offense, and I'm thinking, like, did they? I know they had Todd Gurley, and he was at his peak.
It was really Todd Gurley.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley was at his peak. He was probably the best or top two or three running back in the National Football League. But beside Todd Gurley, it's not like they, like, Cooper Kupp was the Cooper Kupp of 3 years ago.
He may not have been on that team.
Cooper Kupp was, yeah.
He was.
He was young.
Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, Tyler Higbee. Let's see, who else is on that list?
Obviously, they went to the Super Bowl, I'm saying.
Yeah, 2018, yeah.
Robert but all those guys were young.
Yeah, they were 25, 26.
Yeah, all those guys were young. So it's not like these guys had reached that apex of their career and they were just dominated at their position. Robert Woods was still coming into his own. He was young.
Cooper Kupp was still coming into his own. That was Robert Woods' seventh season in the league.
Was it that late?
Yeah.
Because he was with Buffalo first. Yeah, Buffalo. I forget about the Buffalo years.
1,200 yards receiving.
Yeah,
I forget Brandon about Cooks both. Brandon Cooks, 1,200 yards, that's just uncommon.
But my thing is this. When you say – because I look at Robert Woods and Brandon Cook, those are good receivers, but those were not elite receivers.
I think they didn't talk about the talent around Jared Goff. We have to add Sean McVay in that conversation.
Yeah, Sean McVay
too
is a hell of a
–
because Sean McVay has been able to do it with both quarterbacks. But the guy that stirred the drink was Todd Gurley.
He was
the guy that stirred the drink. Now, that's a big-ass straw. You know, Todd Gurley, he's a hell of a player at his apex. But beside that, you had two young receivers. They were growing into their own, even though Robert Woods is in his seventh season. He had just come over from Buffalo not too long ago. So they were trying to mesh all this stuff together anyway. The linchpin in it of all was Sean McVay.
Yeah. And is Brian Callahan Sean McVay? We'll see.
We don't know.
Backside of that line that year was Andrew Whitworth and Roger Saffold.
Saffold.
On the left side.
They had a good offensive line.
Yeah. So that's your left side. Yeah. So just
Andrew Whitworth is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's a stud. Got a great education, too. Coming up
next.
You must
have went to LSU, huh?
coming up next, I have to get D-Mace's reaction to a wide receiver take that Jared had yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
And we'll do that coming up next. And I do want to get into D-Mace's wide receiver rankings. Going into the season, mm-hmm. who's top 10, who's top 15? Do Titans receivers?
I got 32
receivers?
Of them.
Do Titans receivers make the cut? We shall see. But first, I have to get your reaction to Jared's take yesterday. We'll do that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Nashville's best deal of the week is Joyland in East Nashville. Joyland is a fun new concept by Chef Sean Brock designed to spread joy through his love of cheeseburgers, shakes, buttermilk biscuits, fries, and fried chicken. Get a half off of the $30 Joyland gift card right now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals and enjoy the best burger in town.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.